Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Barry was the chairman and CEO of Burger King from 1989 to 1994. He's now a top-ranked speaker, a columnist for the Miami Herald, and a management consultant with an impressive roster of clients, including Arthur Andersen, Domino's Pizza, General Mills, Guinness Brewing Worldwide, IBM, on and on and on. The list is very long, folks. He currently lives now with his family in Miami, Florida, when he's not in his other home, which is just outside of London. His new book out is called, and I love this title, folks, it's called, If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan, The 101 Universal Laws of Business. I love your book, Barry Gibbons. Welcome to the show.
Oh, Jim, delighted to be here.
It's good to have you here, and I laugh every time I read your title. It's funny. What in the world made you give it a title like that?
The genesis of that is somewhat at my expense. That about 2 or 3 years ago, when I'd I'd kind of quit big business of my choice, by the way, I was looking back on, I don't know, 27, 28 years in big international companies, and I figured out that I'd probably done, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 business plans. You know these neat things we all do?
Yep.
I mean, you do, whether you're a small company or a big company.
Yep.
I guess the small company is sometimes just a letter to the bank. Sometimes, another times it's 6 inches thick with appendices and all nicely bound at Kinko's and all that good stuff. I put about 60 or 70 of these things together, and I figured out that not one of them had ever come off. I'm batting 0 for 70. And as I smiled at myself, I thought, well, maybe there's a universal law at work here. The guys who do this could actually rely on that. I believe that life is governed by sort of universal laws. You know, you have the obvious ones like death and taxes and gravity, but there are others at work. You know, that if you go on vacation, you take twice the money and half the clothes you first thought of. And if you're buying a bottle of wine, if it's got a picture on it, you shouldn't. These laws help us through life. And I thought, well, maybe if that's a universal law, there's others. And I look back over 28, 30 years, whatever it was, and I started jotting them down. They're all stolen, you know. You know what they say, great artists steal. So I picked them from bosses who yelled them at me, and bits and pieces I'd picked up in magazines and things I'd done myself. And I started writing, and I got to 101 of these universal laws, and then the publisher just said, stop. I think, you know, with eyes wide open for a possible sequel here. And that was the genesis of this thing.
And the book is written around those
written
laws?
Around the 101 universal laws, yeah.
You know, and now that you're not a corporate executive like you were, now you're a consultant, and I wonder, do you know what the definition of a consultant is?
Yes, somebody who comes into your business, borrows your watch, and tells you the time.
Yeah, that's one
my
way.
My definition.
I'm a consultant, by the way, when I'm not on the radio, and have been now for a little over 10 years, but my definition of a consultant, I stole this from someone else too, by the way, is a consultant is a guy who knows 300 ways to make love to a woman, but doesn't know any women.
That's right.
All right.
It's ruder than mine, but it's the same kind of impact.
Let's talk about some of these universal laws. Now, I've got quite a few of them marked, and folks, all of these laws are interspersed throughout the book with narrative to back them up. And we're going to get into the book. We're going to get into some of the things inside the book in a minute that I want to talk about. But one of the first things is, and this is your first universal law, Barry. When you have completed, bound, and presented your business plan to the appropriate audience, it contains the one and only scenario that is guaranteed not to happen. Now, what in the world does that mean?
Well, it's reflecting on what I'd done. I was batting over 70, and I think business planning is an essential science, and it's a good discipline to take a Polaroid picture of your business, you know? Good discipline to stop now and again and put it all together and have a look at it. But my concern is that and I use this as a differentiator between leadership and management, that the manager, the professional manager, then takes it as a script. And if it's not working quite, tries to force it to work. Whereas the leader takes it for what it is, which is a good Polaroid picture of the book at that time, and your best sort of guess, shoves it in the top right-hand drawer with the other 20 and never looks at it again and deals with what comes up. You know, you almost cannot plan nowadays for longer than a week or a couple of months. Even if you're a mighty company, you know, the big oil companies, the big banks sometimes wake up one morning and two of their huge rivals have suddenly merged. Wow, doesn't the world look different?
Well, one of the things that I think I might disagree with you a little bit, I do think that you do have to plan for months and years in advance. But I think maybe the way I like to think of about what you're saying is now more than ever before, you need to be checking back with that business plan on a weekly basis, rather than historically we check back with it on an annual basis.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I don't have an issue about the planning bit.
Yeah,
and then sitting down and putting the discipline together and looking at your business and giving your best guess. Don't then try and force if it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
Look, you know, there are two big ideas in this book. When I say big ideas, a big B and a big I. One is that we don't have enough fun in humor, in business. We stop laughing, and that's the whole tenure of the book. I try and put it over with a lot of smiles.
I agree with you there.
Secondly, we've actually got a bit complicated, and you know, you go in the bookstores at the minute, there's 3 acres devoted to the management of change. Every book has got words like paradigm shift in the title, and, you know, go back to the Mayflower. Those guys face change like you and I just can't comprehend, and even the head of IBM can't comprehend. Everything
right.
they understood and lived in and lived for changed on them every day. What they did, they got up in the morning, they marshaled their resources, they faced it, they figured it out, lived through the day, and faced another one. And I believe that's disappearing from business. Information technology has given us the ability to overanalyze, to lose instinct, to lose hunch, and be a bit too much sophisticated and a bit too complicated. And I would like business to get back to, okay, we've had a good shot at it, we've planned it, that's what we're going to do now. What's going to face us tomorrow, the day after, and let's deal with it. Great words. Deal with it, guys, as it comes up. Because if you assume that what you wrote, you know, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago in a nice document is going to figure it out all for you, you're wrong.
Well, when you understand that an internet year today is 90 days, not 365 days, then you take what Barry has to say to heart. Barry, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Join us if you would like, 888-822-8255. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that Barry calls tests of rightness. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. That's my phone number if you'd like to join us, me and my special guest, Barry Gibbons. Barry is the former chairman and CEO of Burger King. Right now, he's a consultant and the author of an outstanding book that I'd like to recommend to you called If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan, The 101 Universal Laws of Business. Barry, where is this book found?
It's out now. It's out now, and as I say, all fine booksellers. And if anybody out there has got the big idea of their own and they're thinking of writing a book, it's very important you find a publisher with a sense of humor. My guys put my book out this week in exact competition on exactly the same day as Thomas Harris's sequel to Hannibal Lecter's book.
Oh,
so I think I stand before you proudly as the only author ever to have been outsold 8 million to 1 on his launch day. But it is out in the bookstore today.
I'm not sure. That's a rather cruel sense of humor there, Barry.
The guy needs a bit of competition. Yeah,
They've got confidence in you.
Hey, listen, you wait till the movie in my book. See if we can get Anthony Hopkins.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Keep us posted on that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about tests of rightness. Now, that's something that's a major fundamental part of your book. It's something you call POR.
Listen, I've been asked already on this book as to whether they apply to companies that are in are in Genesis, or whether they apply to the Coca-Colas or the IBMs. What I've tried to do is go behind the fads and the tools and the weapons that you find in the bookstore and take business back to some of its basic stuff, some of the basic rules. And I think they do apply to a small business or running a team or running a business unit or a region or a piece of geography or a business. The one I've started with, and I started with deliberately, is what I call a series of tests of rightness. And it fascinates me, Jim, that I've in 30 years working both sides of the Atlantic, I have seen people that I have a lot of respect for, who are pillars of strength in their community and their family, right? And they behave like this in a certain way in their non-business lives. They pick up their briefcases and they seem to abandon all the basic right things that they do in life when they enter the portals of their workplace. For example, treating people. That I have on my desk around here, and I think I've used the example in the book. Some of the ways we treat people in business today are just simply appalling and inexcusable. You see people who are being fired by email, fired by fax with their name spelt wrong. You know, in my view, these are people who do this stuff, and when they go home, they wouldn't treat their family like this. They wouldn't treat their cousins, their sisters, their friends at the golf club, the bar, the whatever it is.
Well, see, now you're explaining why the 21st century is going to be the century of the entrepreneur.
Because
about is driving people to work for themselves.
I think you will find, and I think you will find a lot of people are moving towards small businesses and smaller businesses.
Yeah.
But it isn't just about dealing with people. I see people who spend their own money sensibly, and they force their personal spending to go through tests of rightness. They're buying a car or a jacket or a pair of shoes or something or a new computer. They put some science and some logic behind it as to what it's going to do for my home, my house, my family. And then they go into work, and they'll write checks that are just unbelievable for some unjustified upgrade on something or other. In other words, they spend the company's money without the same test of rightness that they put against themselves. Corporate communication is a huge area of I think, default in this area of tests of rightness. People lie when they go into the office and they communicate. They lie. These are people who would no more lie, and they preach to their children that they shouldn't lie in their social life than fly. They go in, and what do? They issue a press release, you know, a release that they've just laid off 6,000 people. I quote, this is an exact quote from one last week in England, in order to better serve our customers, we are laying off 6,000 people. I mean, give me a break. My universal rule in that area is very simple. If this communication wouldn't fool your mother, tear it up.
There's
a whole range of these basic civilized tests of rightness that I just think a new entrepreneur would be very well advised to stick with, and don't abandon them the minute you go into the door of your workplace.
I want to read something here before we go to a break.
Yeah.
That's your definition of test of rightness, folks. I want you to listen to this. Test of rightness is a simple process of taking a few minutes to stand back and ignore all the momentum, process, noise, analysis, and data, and ask, does this feel right? Is this actually civilized?
That's right.
I want to talk about that some more when we come back, because I've got some thoughts on that I want to ask your opinion on. It's 29 after the hour, folks. Barry, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Barry Gibbons, the author of If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan, is our special guest this hour. Stay with us, please. We're back. Thank you for joining us. 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Barry Gibbons is our special guest and our new friend. I'm really enjoying our conversation, Barry. I hope you are. And folks, his book is called If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan, the 101 Universal Laws of Business. And we were most recently talking about something Barry calls TOR, Tests of Rightness. And, you know, Barry, you were talking about some of the things that you found in corporate, some things that were disturbing to you, were disappointing to you. And I believe that one of the things that concerns me right now is, as you know, more and more people our age, boomers, not just young people, but more and more boomers are becoming downsized and right-sized or whatever, fired, canned, sacked, whatever you want to call it. And more and more of them, as we are seeing, are becoming small business owners. They're starting their own, they're following their own dream, hitching their wagon to their own star, so to speak. But they're coming out of this culture that you were just describing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I want to try to do is to introduce them to people like Barry and people like Tom Feltenstein and people like Gary Moore and others that have been on my show who talk about in their own way, what you call tests of rightness. And I want to introduce them to these people so that they understand that the pure marketplace, the real marketplace, where the rubber meets the road, the small business marketplace, is not the same thing as the insulated major corporate marketplace that they've been working in for the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah, but for one thing, I don't think it needs
From an ethical standpoint, I should say.
It isn't just an ethical thing. I mean, some of it's just civilized behavior. I'm not necessarily saying these people are unethical. It's just that there's this Jekyll and Hyde movement. But I think there's a huge opportunity here, and they don't need people like me to tell them. What you have in business, and you've always had it, it's just the mix is changing, is there's a difference between what you do in business, you know, I make chain link fencing, I make cars, what you do, and how you do it. And what we're finding over the last few years is that the how you do it is becoming more and more important in how you differentiate yourself in the marketplace. And one of the reasons behind the big companies going back to their core competence, which is huge steel mills or financial services or whatever, is they are finding it difficult to put their personality on the how they do business. And a lot of it's going out to small companies where the style and the personality and these factors can play much more relevantly. I just ask you, new entrepreneurs or the small businesses who listen in here, guys, you will win and lose more often than not on how you do business, which is more of a reflection of the things we've talked about, the tests of rightness and your own style and values. It's a huge opportunity. You can't do it in a massive corporation.
Right.
But you have an enormous chance if you'll back your own judgment, faith, and civilized habits.
And Barry, if you want, one of the things I'd like to point out, and I want to tie this into to your universal law number 95, and folks, those of you who've been listening to the show know that
I'm scrambling now. Where are you? Right,
number 95, let me read this to you. In a healthy organization, particularly one that aspires to fostering a challenging culture, every employee should have a mentor as well as a boss. Now, what I believe is that every small business owner, new or old, veteran or rookie, should have a mentor as well. And Jack Carew has been on the show this week talking to us about mentors, and I'm glad to see you pointing this out. And folks, if there's one thing that I hope you're seeing in some of the people that I've had on the show over the last several months, is that more and more people are talking about these things, about nurturing your spirit, about following some of the fundamental, and to use Barry's example, tests of rightness. And Barry, if you know, I was thinking what you were just talking about made me think of this, that if you're concerned about your position, if you're concerned about how you are behaving, if you're concerned about how you should behave in a particular situation, find yourself a mentor, someone that you can trust, someone that you respect, and take them on as a mentor and encourage them to be your mentor.
Mm. And the mentor gains as well. In an
exactly. I was really happy to see that in your 95th universal law.
I have a belief. What's happened in organizations now is that everybody's getting lean and mean, and they're flatter, which means that one person has, you know, 25 people reporting to them in a big company rather than that used to be five.
Yep.
There's a distance from between the boss and subordinate position, which is getting wider. And if you're not careful, that can be a pocket of discontent, it can be a pocket of abuse, it can be a pocket of deep unhappiness in business. And I think everybody in an organization, small, medium, or large, should have another route out, should have another line of communication, which isn't line responsibility or authority, but it is a mentor, coaching, developing, I want to talk about this, I've got this idea, I've got this challenge. The stuff you don't normally do with your boss, and it's not every day or every week. But it's there if you need it, and it should happen. And both parties benefit enormously. And this is very, very widespread behavior in Japan. And they have a very different set of manager-subordinate relationships than they do in the West.
One of the things, your ninth universal law.
Oh, scrambling again.
I like it a lot. Well, I'm moving around. I'm keeping you on your toes here. The ninth law is if a customer has one genuine grievance, do two things to solve it.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, and we're going to have to take a break here in a second, so we won't be able to get into it very much in this segment. But what I want to do when you come back is I want you to talk to us about that, folks. Pay attention to this, because this is good stuff. If a customer has one genuine grievance, do two things to solve it. We're going to get Barry to tell us what he means by that when he comes back. Right now, we've got to take a break. Barry Gibbons is our special guest. He's the author of If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan, 101 Universal Laws of Business. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Don't go away. All right, we're here. 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. 888-822-8255 is our phone number, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you to those of you who've been checking that out. Don't forget, there's a new section in there called The Advocate on the Road. That section is going to be growing, as I am going to be adding at least one more trip to that section in this month, because I will be traveling to Raleigh, North Carolina on the 22nd and 23rd. I'll be broadcasting the show from Raleigh, North Carolina on the 23rd and 24th. where I will be keynote speaker at the North Carolina Business Incubator Executives Annual Conference there in Raleigh. And I'm looking forward to coming to see you folks in Raleigh, and I'm looking forward to that. And when I get back, we'll be putting some of the things that we learned and found and some of the people we met during that trip, we'll be putting that up on the website so you can see kind of what we've been doing out in the marketplace. Barry Gibbons is our special guest, and he is the author of If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan, the 101 Universal Business Laws of Business, I should say. Barry, the book is available in bookstores. It's available online.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yes.
And folks, I recommend it to you. This book, if all you did was buy it for the 5 or 6 pages that list the universal business laws, it would be worth the money just for that. But there's a tremendous amount of backup in the book for each one of these fundamental laws. And it's just, I just think it's an outstanding book on a lot of ways, not only to operate your business, but to operate yourself as an individual in the marketplace. Barry, law number 9, if a customer has one genuine grievance, do 2 things to solve it.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
He's going back to how the small business can take advantage in the marketplace, moving about from what you do to how you do it. You know, customers have problems now and again. Things go wrong. Right? They have a grievance. Yeah, obviously solve it, but don't just leave it there. This thing about satisfied customer, and assuming you can get your customer to being satisfied by solving it is one thing. But, you know, don't stop there. You have an opportunity to lock that customer's loyalty in for a wee bit longer by moving them from satisfied way up the graph to wow satisfied. And it just seems to me that you've done something wrong, you've made a mess of it, your customer's upset, and they can fix it and then do something from left field which they don't expect. Here's an example, and it's not from a small company, but it's an example of a big company who thinks small and are magnificent for doing it. My sister-in-law's flying back from Miami to London. We get to the airport, and it's a transatlantic flight, and a 4-hour delay is announced. Everybody's tense and upset and fed up. And people start going around handing out pieces of paper, and there is the problem solved. Such and such a flight. We're communicating with you because this is what's wrong. This is what we're going to do about it. This is what happens next, and this is what we're going to do to make it reasonably comfortable in the 4 hours it's going to take. You know, there's a coupon for a meal. This kind of thing. You can argue that that's the kind of a solution of the problem. Wow, what is different? Look down the bottom of the page. That is a timed fax, 1 o'clock in the morning England time, from the chairman of the airline, Richard Branson, Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you that my sister-in-law went from homicidal maniac to at peace to lottery winner in about 30 seconds. You know, the first one appeased them. At least you know you're going to get off. I'm going to get a meal. At least it's going to happen tonight. And, you know, okay, these things happen. And it's nice for somebody to communicate and tell us what's going on, groan. And then the thing at the bottom just blew her mind off. You know, that Richard Branson had got out of bed and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's an example of solving the problem and then actually saying, well, that's not enough.
Well, right. You know,
can we heap another thing on which gets that customer going, wow?
You said it was an example of a major corporate, a major corporate example, and I agree with you. But the thing is that's classic small business. Small business has, if they have nothing else, they have service. Because everything that we sell, everything that any of us sell, can be bought 6 different places within a mile and a half of where you are. And maybe for less money. So the only way you can command any kind of brand loyalty, any kind of customer loyalty, is to service your customers within an inch of your life, of their life.
And it's just the how you do your business, how you do it. It's winning. It's winning, and it's the winning card you can play as a small business. I just can't hammer this home because there's very little other differentiator in the marketplace today. A Burger King franchisee when I was there, you know, made a mess of a call in or an order. The guy, a drive-through order, the guy got back to his office and there was something missing. So he phoned the Burger King and the guy said, don't move, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Phew, delivered the meal correctly in 10 minutes. Okay, satisfied customer, a bit miffed, you know, but satisfied. What was astonishing and got the guy to call me, the chief executive, the day after, was a knock on the door at 12 noon the next day. Hey, sorry about yesterday. Why don't you have a Burger King lunch on us? Hmm. It costs pennies.
Yeah.
And it got that guy telephoning the chief executive. And the reason he said, you were not going to lose me. Burger King wasn't going to lose me. You have bad hair days.
Yeah.
But never, ever have I sat down at night in all your hundreds of millions of advertising you've done on the television telling me how good you are. I have never, ever sat down at night and talked about you guys over supper with my family, which is what I did last night.
Here is one of Blasting Games' universal laws. An unhappy customer will do more damage than 100 happy customers will do good for you.
Yeah, that's right. Back to the ratio.
You've got to make them happy.
Yeah.
Stand by, Barry. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Barry Gibbons, the author of If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan. By the way, folks, his picture's on the front. I like that. Stand by. We'll be right back. We're back. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Barry Gibbons. He's the author of If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan, The 101 Universal Laws of Business. Folks, and I would like to recommend that if you've got somebody that's in business, that wants to be in business, and maybe it's a young person who's just graduated from college, or if it's somebody that would like to start thinking about going into business, or they're on their own business, go buy this book for him and wrap it up and give it to him as a present. It'd make a great present. And Barry didn't pay me anything to say that. I recommend it to you. Barry, my audience knows that I don't bring authors on the show if I don't think that the book is worthy of their money and their time.
Very kind of you.
So congratulations.
Maybe today.
I want to talk about a couple of quick laws here. One is number 58. In business, a permanent state of restlessness is a wonderful disease to have. Talk to us about that.
You see the current Fortune magazine. It lists CEOs who failed in life, and the common denominator they all have. If you look at the other side of it, leaders who succeeded, you want my theory, it isn't vision, it isn't communicating skills, it isn't technical skill. Look at them all. It's a thing called restlessness. And this, I think, applies absolutely to small and new businesses. It's the ability almost every day of your life to say, look, if I landed from Mars today, right, how would I go about doing this, what I do? Whether it's selling chain link fencing or, a dot-com company. Because if you're not there, change or die. It's becoming that simple. It's that restlessness, the institutionalization of discomfort. Never satisfied.
Well,
never
there's never been a better time to act out that restlessness than now.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's fundamental. You have to be restless.
Because the old ways of doing business are sort of crumbling.
Oh, and the walls will fall on you. it's that restlessness. It's a great talent to have.
Let's talk about number 93. Never hire anyone or accept anyone in an existing team you inherit who is not capable of hitting you. Folks, you weren't ready for that. Capable of hitting you.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Don't employ anybody not capable of hitting you.
What do you mean by that?
It means let me just preface it by saying this is particularly important for small businesses, new businesses, entrepreneurial business, where you have the guy or the woman who runs it is actually the owner, has got their ranch built on it, bet on it, is the manager, the executive, is everything, and is sweating. There's a great tendency to recruit people who see it your way, who won't challenge. Don't employ anybody who is not capable of screaming at you that you're wrong, telling you that you do not have a monopoly of wisdom, that there are other ways that should be considered and will challenge you.
That's a rather dramatic way, folks, of saying don't hire yes men or yes
women. Don't hire yes men.
Okay.
Be capable of yelling at you and hitting you.
We got about 30 seconds. I want to talk about rule number 101. Your God gave you two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. That's four organs to receive information one to give it out. Talk to us about that ratio.
I've got 20 seconds left. Listening skills are almost vanished from leadership in American business. We are appalling listeners as leaders. You've got two eyes to see, two ears to listen, and one mouth to give out stuff. Use them in that order for a while. Look and listen, and you'll be a far, far better leader of your team or your small business or your regional business, whatever it is. Listening skills are almost gone, and they can be winning for you.
Barry, well said. That's going to have to be the last word. But I tell you what, folks, there's too much more left in this book that we haven't touched. I'm going to invite you, Barry, to come back with us in the next few weeks and talk to us again about some of these other principles.
Delighted.
Barry. You did great. I appreciate it.
Love to.
Talk to you later. Folks, that's Barry Gibbons, the author of If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plans. Check it out, folks. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.